Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
If the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only true church, what does that say about your church? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at an article in the August 2021 edition of the Liahona magazine. It is the magazine for adult members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's titled Authority, Ordinances, and Preparation. It is by President Dallin H. Oaks, who is a member of the First Presidency. He's the first counselor to Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of the LDS Church. And obviously, this article is encouraging members of the LDS Church to make sure that they are prepared for when Jesus returns. Or you could even say, be prepared should they die before he returns. But authority, ordinances, and preparation. In yesterday's show, we were talking about how he's encouraging members to be prepared. How are they to be prepared? They are to keep their covenants faithfully. They are to seek the ordinances required for exaltation and eternal life. It's all about covenant keeping. It's all about commandment keeping. And this is what he emphasizes in this article. Well, then he kind of switches gears here on page 7, where this article starts, under the subheading of Priesthood Authority in the Restored Church. And perhaps we should explain what that means to a member of the LDS Church. You will often hear them use the word restored or the word restoration. And as we've often emphasized here, they believe that their church, being the only true church, is based on this idea that they believe and practice like they believe the early Christian church, the one that Christ established, believed and practiced. Now, proving that is a whole nother issue, but that's why they use the word restored when they speak of the restored church or the restored gospel, the restoration. They're all tied together. What does he have to say about a story that he said took place 30 years ago?
30 years ago, I had an experience with how priesthood authority in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints differs from other kinds of authority. The wife of a prominent Protestant minister came to my office. For many years, she and her husband had served the Lord with great diligence in a Christian ministry. Now she wanted to join the restored church, but she had a reservation. She came to ask me why she had to be baptized when she had already been baptized a Christian by her minister husband, who had baptized many people in his congregation. She asked, "Are you telling me that my husband didn't have any authority to baptize all those people he baptized?" The Spirit came to my aid, as we pray for in these situations. "No, I am sure your husband had authority for those baptisms," I replied. "He had all the authority his church, his congregation, and the laws of the land could give him. He used that authority in baptizing, performing marriages, employing persons for the physical needs of his church building, and appointing persons to participate in its worship services. We don't question that authority, but we want you to know of a different kind of authority, the power God delegates to mortals."
She came to me and asked why she had to be baptized when she had already been baptized a Christian by her minister husband, who had baptized many people in his congregation. She asked, "Are you telling me that my husband didn't have any authority to baptize all those people he baptized?" I have to assume her asking that question had nothing to do with authority merely when it comes to his denomination or his church or his congregation or even the laws of the land. And yet, what does Oaks say? He answers it, "No, I'm sure your husband had authority for those baptisms, but in his mind, it has everything to do with the authority, his church, his congregation, and the laws of the land. That's not what she asked. He's not answering properly the question that is being asked. But here's another problem I have with this story. He starts it off by saying the wife of a prominent Protestant minister came to my office. Now, he doesn't mention who this prominent Protestant minister is. All we know from the rest of the story as we read on is that this couple ends up joining the LDS church. But when you say prominent, here's the problem I have with this. What Christian pastor worth his salt could abandon his Christian principles, his biblical principles that have made Christians what they are, to join this group which denies or distorts all of those doctrines and principles? See, I don't have a lot of respect for any minister, whoever they might be, who joins the LDS church knowing what they have to give up, what they have to deny, what they have to denounce in order to become a member of the LDS church. Now, how good were they at being a minister? I have no idea, because we don't know who he's talking about. But here's what's interesting. For many years, he says, she and her husband had served the Lord with great diligence in a Christian ministry. Really? Served the Lord? Were they serving the Lord that Dallin Oaks claims he serves? Because remember, Mormon leaders not only have made it clear that the one they referred to as God the Father is different from the God the Father that New Testament Christians believe, but their leaders have also made it clear that the Jesus they claim to serve is a different Jesus than the one that we believe. So how can Dallin Oaks say that she and her husband had served the Lord with great diligence in a Christian ministry? If Dallin Oaks was being honest, he would have to clarify what he means by that, and he wouldn't use the phrase serve the Lord. He would have to say something like, served a version of their Lord in Christian ministry. But it's not the Lord Dallin Oaks is talking about.
The language is veiled. There's no doubt about it. Because what he is telling her is perhaps maybe appeasing to her that she's going to accept it. But when he says, we don't question that authority, but we want you to know of a different kind of authority, the power God delegates to mortals. Now, he doesn't really come out flat out and say, well, there's this thing called the great apostasy. You really had no real authority. Your husband had no authority to be able to baptize, but you had the authority of your church, as you said, Bill, your denomination, and even the laws of the land. But Mormonism teaches that the authority of Christianity, of the biblical Christianity that you and I believe, Bill, is not God's authority. We do not have God's authority. And so he's moving his way around here to be able to talk to this woman. And hopefully, and it seemed like it worked, she ends up converting along with her husband to the LDS church. We have looked at quote-unquote pastors who have converted to the LDS church. And we've done this on this show to show that, well, the Christian ministry that they had was not as grand and glorious as the Mormons would want you to think, that this was a faithful Christian pastor who all of a sudden decided Mormonism was true. I'd love to have the name of this person that's being talked about, this prominent minister. I'd love to do a little bit of research. And oftentimes I have found there's not a whole lot to their previous ministry, or they come from a very liberal Christian denomination that may not believe in salvation by grace through faith alone and the other essential issues of the Christian church. I have a problem because I know what's being said between the lines. How many people are not seeing between the lines?
Well, we would hope that a member of the LDS church is seeing between the lines because they know the language. Well, he's going to go on and explain a little deeper what he's referring to when he starts off by saying, I explain that what causes us to require baptism for persons converted to the restored church of Jesus Christ is the need for baptism by the divine authority Jesus gave to Peter and the other apostles.
He continues, with that authority, he told them, whatsoever they bound on earth would be bound in heaven. See Matthew 16:19 and 18:18. In other words, it would be valid and effective beyond the veil of death to satisfy the requirements of heaven. I testify to her that this authority has been restored and now exists only in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Sometime later, both this woman and her husband were baptized. I have known them for many years as faithful members.
I appreciate at least the honesty in that sentence where Oak says, I testified to her that this authority has been restored and now exists only in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. What is he saying? He's saying that there really is no authority outside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you have any authority at all, it's got to be within the boundaries of the church started by Joseph Smith. It alone has that authority, and going back to Doctrine and Covenants, Section 1, it's the only church with which God is well pleased. Mormon leaders have made that very clear to its membership when they're speaking to their membership, but yet we find that when we are talking with Latter-day Saints on the streets, or sometimes even in emails, they are very reluctant to be so blunt as Dallin Oaks has been blunt here. Now, really, I don't know this story the way he's telling it. I don't know if this couple was already going to be committed to joining the church and she just had some lingering questions, or was this the deal breaker for her? We don't know. But that kind of honesty, I don't often find in talking with your average LDS member. Do you? They're
No.
usually trying very hard to make it sound like we're similar in a lot of ways. And that's what I think can be very deceptive. And we need to remember this when we're talking with our Mormon acquaintances. I think at this point, what needs to be discussed is what is it exactly that leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have said regarding those who are outside of their church. Because if we want to understand what the position of the LDS church is, it's best to cite their own leaders, the ones who have authority, since that's the word we're using, the ones who have authority to speak on behalf of the church. Now, who would that be? Well, of course, it would be the prophet, seer, and revelator, the president of the church. He certainly has that authority. But even below him, you have the first presidency, of which Dallin Oaks is a member. So when he makes this statement that I testify to her that this authority has been restored and now exists only in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Oaks has authority to say that, as all members really do, because that is an official teaching of the church.
And the only reason that they have the authority of God today, according to Mormonism, is the great apostasy. And I think if we are going to accept Mormons as Christians, they're going to first have to get rid of the great apostasy, because that keeps us apart from being able to have any kind of fellowship.
And that story allegedly becomes a part of the LDS movement at the very beginning, if you believe that the first vision really took place in the spring of 1820. But certainly that has become a part of the Mormon narrative. All the churches are wrong. Their creeds are an abomination, and their professors are corrupt. We're going to talk more about this in tomorrow's show.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.